please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.
Good morning, campers! Pick up your coffee cup, make a cup of tea, pour yourself a beer. Hair of the dog, it's the Francine Marie Show!
Good morning, thanks for joining us. Jennifer Bremer is joining us this morning. She is our state board member for the League of Women Voters, North Carolina. She's going to bring us up to date on this election coming up in November. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hi, Francine Marie, how you doing?
It's been a minute since we interviewed. I miss seeing you. Right?
Well, everything is remote these days, so here we are.
Brings me to that drum roll of, is this election going to be like the Hunger Games? It's like, what is this election going to look like, feel like, be like? What do we need to be on the lookout for?
Okay, well, this is obviously, I think we all know, this is one of the most important elections, if not the most important election of our lifetime. What's really on the ballot is democracy. So it's so important for everybody to vote and to find a way where they feel that they can do that safely and comfortably. There are the usual choices for how to vote. You can vote on Election Day. We're also going to have more choices for early voting than we have in some recent years. Because they have broadened those out, and they have also secured some large sites to be able to vote safely on early voting. And then, of course, you can also vote absentee, and you do not need an excuse. You don't have to say you're traveling or you're sick or whatever. You can vote absentee, but to do that, you must request an absentee ballot. And then you can return that by mail, or you can drop it off at an early voting site, or you can take it to your local board of elections and file it.
Got it. And when you say they, you refer to they, all of this revolves around the board of elections in Raleigh, right?
Well, actually the legislature, I should have said, yes, it's the legislature that expanded that, and then the board of elections in Raleigh is implementing it together with the Mecklenburg board.
Got it. Do all of those folks talk to each other and say, well, you know what? We're boots on the ground, so this might work better. Does that ever happen?
It does happen to some extent. Karen Brinson Bell, who's the executive director of the North Carolina State Board of Elections, she did appear for an extensive discussion with the legislature, and they have provided some additional funds. And also are really requiring expanded early polling options, which is great. So this, we will have more opportunities than we have had in recent years, as well as what I think are in most places more locations.
Right.
There are actually 33 different sites in Mecklenburg, including some very large sites.
Okay. It sounds like we're not skimping. We're not on a shoestring budget for this pandemic voting situation.
Well, they did provide some additional funding, some additional federal funding, and the state provided their matching funds after some delay, but they did provide them. So there is additional funding available. Whether it's enough, I mean, as we know, there are just so many precautions, but they are really doing their best to make this as safe as they absolutely can. And I wanted to mention the larger facilities. The Bank of America Stadium and Spectrum Center will be, that site will be, available for early voting. So that will really enable them to spread people out.
Oh, this sounds good. Yeah.
And actually, the Bojangles Coliseum on Independence Boulevard also is a large site. But they're still kind of setting that up. But you can imagine those are very large places, so plenty of room for social distancing, and that will hopefully keep the lines down also.
Right.
That's for early voting. If you vote on Election Day, you vote in your regular precinct. But they have relocated, I believe it's 4 precincts, and that's usually being done right now because whatever was the previous voting site was not large enough, or where it was located, it was not going to be possible to provide enough security in terms of cleaning and that kind of thing. So I'll list the precinct numbers as there are only four, precinct 63, 96, 100, and 137. So those have been relocated to someplace else very nearby. So people should be able to look that up. And you can always find that information by going to the Board of Elections website or to the State Board of Elections website. Or for that matter, to vote 411, which is the league's information system.
Well, I like it. Okay, vote 411. We've heard from you guys a lot, and we like it because you're nonpartisan. You're right in the middle, just directing us and informing us. Isn't that a great position to be in these days? So vote411.org is where you can go. You've relaunched it. I bet that took some time and effort and consideration when you think about maybe this is your first time voting ever. Maybe you just became of age. There's a lot of babies, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone's condition is a little bit, situation is a little bit different. So yeah, so Vote 411 is designed to be very easy to use and to give every voter all of the information that they need to be able to vote in an informed way and with confidence. So it includes a lot of information about polling places at times. And when you put in your address, which, by the way, the league does not keep. We do not retain that information. But you put in your address, it will show you your personal ballot with the candidates that appear, you know, for the state legislature, for the governor, whatever. I mean, obviously the governor is statewide. But whatever the local offices are, those will show up specifically based on your address. And it will show you your polling place and other information like that. We are actually encouraging people to vote early. And as I say, they have gone through a lot of trouble to make that safer and more secure than it might otherwise be. So we think, especially if people who are not working can spread themselves out by time so that they are allowing people who are working not to find long lines when they get there. So middle of the day, that kind of thing. And there are also more weekend hours than usual. So all of that is really good. And you can find that information on Vote 411 as well as on the Board of Elections website and the newspapers and radio stations.
Right.
And the information on candidates, one thing that's very important about Vote 411 is that every single word about the candidate is provided by the candidates themselves. We don't edit it, not for typos, not for anything. It's exactly as they have provided it. And if there's nothing there, that's because despite the best of our efforts, they did not respond. So it's up to the candidates, of course. We send them the questionnaires and the links, and we have numerous chasing phone calls, which take a lot of volunteer time. We also spend thousands of dollars to make this system available across the state. So, we do everything we can to get information to the voters.
Yeah, my next question was, with this new website and the ones previous, can you reach out to a candidate on the website? So thanks for sharing that. Because sometimes candidates do leave a link or they leave an email, very seldom a phone number, but sometimes that happens.
They can provide links to YouTube videos. They can provide links, of course, to their Facebook pages. Probably the Facebook page is the easiest way to reach out to a candidate. Although you can, one of the main parties or one of the smaller parties, you can contact the party office if you really want to reach them and you can't reach them.
Isn't that interesting? It's funny. It's like these days you can reach out to your candidate via Facebook. You can on social media. That's great. If you just not tuning in, yes, she's back. It's Jennifer Bremer. She has always got the information that we need. She's nonpartisan right here. Jennifer Bremer is our state board member for the League of Women Voters, North Carolina. How long have you been involved with the League of Women Voters?
Well, really, not that long, since 2017, when I moved down to the States, actually, in 2016. I'm sure your listeners can tell I'm not really a North Carolinian, but I've worked for many years for UNC, and I decided to retire down here. So, well, here I am. Speaking of dates, I also wanted to go over the dates that are important for the people. Of course, November 3rd is Election Day, and the polls will be open from 6:30 to 7:30. But the absentee ballots will be mailed out by the local Board of Election on September 4th. And we really, if you are going to vote absentee, we strongly encourage people to, when they get that ballot, you know, fill it out, mail it back right away. Because, as you know, there are, probably have heard, potential issues with the post office, which unfortunately seems to be that the current management is making changes that are not by any means improving the service and that are potentially undermining it. We're hearing a lot of rumors, which I don't want to repeat, but you've seen it in the news, I'm sure, that they have been efforts to cut back on overtime and things like that and limit deliveries in some cases. So get it in early if you're going to use the absentee. That's probably why we are recommending that people vote early, because when you go and you cast your ballot, and I believe in it, I know that somebody actually has some new machines, but when you cast your ballot, you can be confident that, you can see right there that it's going in. And we don't want there to be any problem with the absentee. And if you request an absentee ballot, this is a question we get a lot. If you request an absentee ballot and you later decide that you want to vote on Election Day or you want to vote early, as long as you have not mailed that ballot back, you can go ahead and do that. So that is, that you can have an absentee ballot as kind of a fallback and then decide when we get closer to the election whether you feel comfortable voting in person or you do want to do that absentee. And if you do an absentee, it's very important that you be sure to follow the instructions. And the main things there are to be sure to sign the envelope and to get a witness. Are required to have one witness instead of two this year. And that's the requirement for witnesses, a new requirement after all of the issues that happened in Bladen. They had originally two witnesses, but they reduced it to one because of the COVID situation. And you must have a witness. But the league was successful together with DocDNC in a lawsuit where we insisted that every Board of Election must give the voter an opportunity to correct their absentee ballot submission, the envelope, not because you can't change your ballot, but if you forgot to sign it somehow, or if your signature does not match the signature that they have on file, that's how they check it for you, then they are required by the court now to let you know that is not an issue, and to give you a chance to correct that. And any corrections must be completed by Election Day. Election Day is the magic date, when they will not accept an absentee ballot unless they've been postmarked by that date, but they will not accept absentee ballots until after that date, basically. So it's very important to try to get it right the first time, but we all make mistakes, so if you make one, you will have a chance to correct it. So again, mail it in early, so there's plenty of time for that.
And if I'm not mistaken, Jennifer, those ballots are counted first.
Yeah, they actually do. If people want to, they can go down to the Board of Elections. I don't know if they're going to be broadcasting this. I don't think so because of the personal information. But the members of the board, and they must be representatives of both parties, will sit down and they will vote. They will examine the absentee ballot that they have received and determine whether the signatures match. And then if they do, they will open the envelope and they will run the ballot through the scanner that they have in the office there. And then that vote is done. And you will be able to track that on a website being maintained by the state beginning towards the end of August. I think it's supposed to be launched August 27th. So that is, that's going to provide extra comfort if people have submitted an absentee to know the status of your absentee ballot, and you'll be able to look that up. So that's what they get. They run them through. They don't report any information, of course, because that could potentially influence the election. But they do go ahead and report those and try to leave them to the camp.
Shout out to the Board of Elections, all the Board of Elections with Mecklenburg County. They seem to have it together.
They are working really hard and trying to think of everything that they can. You know, many of them are holding their meetings online. As I say, they're not going to discuss individual ballots online. But they, if you want to, you can see on their website what their meetings are and so forth, and tune into those. October 9th is also the registration, the registration deadline. If you have voted recently at all, you are registered. But if you need to register, or if you haven't voted in like 10 years, literally, then, you know, you should, check your registration anyway, and you can, you know, but you can register by October 9th. And a new opportunity that we have this year is to register online if you either have a driver's license or another ID issued by the DMV. Those non-voter IDs that they use. If you have either one of those, you can register online at the DMV website. And there's no charge for that or anything else. It's very simple. It's the same information that you would normally have to supply, your name and address and so forth and so on. And that is, you know, if you need to update your address or you need to change your party for some reason, then you can do that on the DMV website online. And you cannot change your name if you've gotten married or whatever. You still have to go and change your name. You still have to go through the regular procedure for that.
Okay, so say that one more time. So we can actually register to vote if we are not a registered voter by October 9th, right? By October 9th at the DMV website.
Yeah. Okay. The sooner the better. So then you should receive your voter card. It takes a while, but you should receive your voter card if you register on the DMV website or any other way, no matter how you register. Of course, unfortunately, at the present time, the registration drives are really limited, because they're not doing face-to-face contact. I don't think there may be some groups that I, as far as I know, are not going to be out there with clipboards and so forth. And of course, the kinds of places that you would usually register, like fairs or, you know, shopping malls or whatever, those are pretty much not available. So this is really great that we do have this online option, which I would say is free and will take you like 5 minutes.
Oh, good. And this is our first time with this experience, right? Register?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a new thing here in North Carolina. But you must either have a driver's license or another type of ID, the non-operator ID issued by the DMV.
Okay.
That's only true if you register online at the DMV.
Got it.
If you don't have a driver's license, you can absolutely still register through the usual way, which is getting a form, filling it in, mailing it in.
Okay.
Or going directly to the Board of Elections and registering there.
Woo! This is a big one, Jennifer Bremer. This is a big election.
That's really great. We're really happy about that. And we want to thank the state and for working to make that, and the legislature for making that possible.
All right. Mark those calendars. Put this in your calendar. Put it in your phone. It's early voting, AKA absentee one stop, begins Thursday, October the 15th, and ends Saturday, October 31st. Isn't that interesting? It ends on Halloween. Okay. At 3 p.m. Yay. All right.
Yeah. So it's extended hours. And I can say 33 different locations. So there's plenty of time. If you are going to request an absentee, the deadline for that is October 27th. But that is only really a week before Election Day. We do not recommend doing that. If you think you might want to vote absentee, go ahead and request. I requested mine weeks ago. It will not be mailed out until September 4th. But if you think you want to or might want to vote absentee, go ahead and request that absentee ballot.
Okay.
And then if you decide not to, just tear it up. You cannot vote twice. I just want to emphasize that. You cannot. If you've mailed it in, too late. But if you have not mailed it in or turned it in at an early voting site, you can still vote in person.
Since you've been doing this for quite some time, explain to our audience the difference between voter fraud and election fraud. I know we went through some things not too long ago.
Oh, yes. These are very different. People often say that there's a lot of in-person voter fraud. There is not. I think they looked at something like $16 million that had been cast, and they looked at $16 million that had been cast, and they found only really one or two. I mean, there are very, very, very rare to have in-person voter fraud. This basically doesn't happen. And that's the other thing. You will have to show, you normally would have to show voter ID because, of course, the voters Office for Voter ID. But this is, it's still in court, but it is at the present time, if you do not expect, you will have to show voter ID. So judges have put a hold on that. The legislature has asked them to lift the hold, but we'll have to see what the court does. But as of the present time, you know, stay tuned, but you do not have to have voter ID for this election. So that is good. Election fraud is when somebody else is messing around with the election process. That can be anything from physically stealing ballots to altering ballots. And we did have a very notorious case in Layton County in 2018 where a paid operative was going around to people's houses and collecting their absentee ballots. And in many cases saying, oh, let me just take that from you. And then if they have not voted for the candidates who was paying for him, he was filling those ballots in, and he and his paid accomplices. He's actually running for office, if you can believe it.
What?
The individual involved is, yes, he is running for the water board in Layton County. The St. Dallas is his name. So there you go. There are lots of second acts in American politics, and this guy is not the one of them. We'll see if the voters like him or not. But yeah, so this does happen. Our elections are very safe and secure, but there's a lot of incentive to cheat. So it's more common that you get fraudulent advertisements and that kind of thing, Facebook posts. So, you know, really be on the lookout for that. Really approach those very hesitantly if you don't know the group. I mean, there's going to be a lot of, you know, that kind of thing going on, and voters should just ignore it and focus on reliable sources, whether it's the candidates themselves, or Vote 411, or, you know, the newspapers, radio, to really get reliable information and make their decisions.
Right, exactly. If you're just not tuning in, that's the voice of Jennifer Bremer. She is the state board member for the League of Women Voters of North Carolina. So I want to thank you for joining us today. We can do all of our research anywhere we want, but we are suggesting possibly maybe that you log on to vote411.org. Vote411.org is nonpartisan. Can I get an amen on that?
Oh, absolutely. We are strictly nonpartisan.
Got it.
We always, you know, if I haven't mentioned any party names, we really feel that, you know, the voters should get information they can trust, and leave it to the campaigns to make their case on the partisan line.
All right. There's three different ways to vote safely. There's absentee voting, there's early voting, and the good old election day voting. I want to thank you, Jennifer. Say hey to everyone at the League for me.
Oh, I absolutely will. And thanks so much, Francine Marie. We really appreciate getting the word out because this election is just so important. So make a plan. Very important for every voter. Decide how you're going to vote. Make a plan, vote early, get it done early. If you're going to vote election day, even make your plan. And this year is just so important. And we want to encourage every voter, regardless of age, party, you know, personal circumstances, whatever, please vote.
Do it, do it, do it. Jennifer Bremer, League of Women Voters, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Francie Marie, and you stay safe.
You too.
Tune in next week, same time, same station. I am your hostess of the mostest, Francie Marie. Until we meet, and one day we will, I want you to have a good week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for the Francie Marie Show, where we address issues concerning you and your family.
That's all for now. See you next week.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing. The Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.